or taken away, but they remain for a little time. Two passages from the Gospels you're all familiar with, which do not really relate directly to our New Testament text, and that is the temptation of Jesus, the last temptation in Matthew, which is to fall down and worship Satan.
I thought that was to Mary Magdalene, the last temptation.
Uh-oh, yes. Hey, we're recording this now.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. That's right. What's interesting there is the way in which the kingdoms of this world, and I do not take it that Satan is telling a lie here when he says, I will give you the kingdoms of this world. So behind them, there is a power. However, we also know that Jesus talks about coming in. You cannot pillage a house unless you bind the strong man. And he comes and does precisely that. So that means that the power is taken away. Now, there's still what looks like power. And if you want to go from a time to two times, I think that's what the book of Revelation is talking about in terms of the fact that the evil empire, so to speak, strikes back. However, its power is never an eternal thing. And we know that the victory, at the last verse of A Mighty Fortress, take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife, though these all be gone, the victory has been won, which is really a better translation than they yet have nothing won. The victory has been won, the kingdom ours remaineth. And I think that's an important accent. It's interesting how that comes up relative to this. Now, our lesson in Mark is in chapter 13, continuing on more or less from where we ended last time. And it's beginning in verse 24 and going to verse 31. And I don't know why they didn't include verse 32. Jim, do they have verse 32 beginning next week's? I suspect not. They're probably embarrassed by the statement that the Son does not know the time of the end, and they just wanted to omit that verse. But we'll try to talk about that. Oh, a lesson from Luke. Yeah, well, you know, when in doubt, just change the pericope. All right. So, Allah and Echinais Tais Hemerais, but in those days... Always a pregnant phraseology in those days. The prophets like to talk like that, the last days or latter days. In those days, the days are coming, says the Lord, all these kinds of things. Meta tain thlipsin ekine, after that thlipsis, after that tribulation, after that problem, what's going to happen? Note the position of ekinein there. Remember, it's never in attributive position, always in predicate, but usually it precedes, and the noun is always with the article. So it's always with an arthrous noun. Usually it precedes the two, like en ekineis tais hemerais. This time it follows. Now what? Ha helias, the sun skotis thesetai, will be darkened. And you'll notice, look in your side margins, you have quotes there from Isaiah 13, from Joel, references to Joel, and from Isaiah 34. Kai Selene, the girl's name Selena comes from this. The moon, u dosai ta fengus aute. The moon will not give its light, its shining. Rather rare word, fengus. Remember, two gammas together. A gamma preceding another guttural always has the NG sound. 25. Kai ha asteres esantai ektu uranu piptuntes. Note, Andy, this is almost an Aramaic kind of construction here. The stars will be out of the heaven falling. That periphrastic construction is quite common from what I saw what you were doing here in Aramaic. And not in Hebrew. Well, it's starting to come in a little bit. Kai hai dynamis hai entois uranois saloi thesantai. And the powers, the ones in the heavens, will be shaken. Perhaps references to principalities and powers in the heavens, not just something like heavenly bodies. Now, I would draw your attention to this fact, which does not appear in the side margin of your New Testament. I'd be interested if the 26th has something in there. That quote about the sun being darkened is brought up by Peter in the speech after Pentecost. And remember what he says. He quotes this about the Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh and about the prophesying, but then he talks about the sun being dark and the moon being turned to blood and so forth. And then he says, with regard to that passage, this is, not will be or symbolizes or whatever, this is that which is spoken by the prophet. So we have to listen to that. About the sun being darkened. And then, tote upsuntai, they will see, Andy, there's that Aramaic kind of third impersonal, they will see ton huion tu anthropu, the son of the man, the son of man. Note the articles there, unlike your Aramaic construction that you were talking about. Erchomenon, the son of man coming in clouds, on the clouds. That's probably a supplementary participle, the erchomenon. Note it's in predicate position with a verb of perception. And when it's with a verb of perception, you don't say something like, they will see the Son of Man while he is coming, but you take it as part of the object. They will see the Son of Man coming, like that. It could be indirect discourse that the Son of Man is coming, but I think the others is preferable here. Meta dynameos poles kai doxes, with power, great power, and glory. Now remember, what verse was that that you read? Was that 12, where the power was given to the Son, one like a Son of Man?
Right.
Taken away from the powers. And of course, we have the powers being shaken in verse 25. The parallel here is really rather striking, isn't it? 27. By the way, you can note the rather Semitic phraseology of dynameos poles, not dynamé, not poles, dynameos. The use of the adjective afterward is a more Semitic word order. 27. Kai tote apostolai, note one lambda and the circumflex on the yoda, that's the future. Remember, with two lambdas, it's apostello, it's present, this is future. And he will send, then he will send out tus angelus, the angels. And now, see, apostello is normally used, as opposed to pimple, when you're sending somebody out with a commission. This is what's so crazy, you know, you always see in these dumb Bible studies, an apostle is one who is sent. No, it isn't. It's apostle. Apostle is someone, normally sent, who's doing something on commission from somebody else, standing in his place. And that's, of course, the point here. He will send forth with authority the angels. Kai epi sun axai, they will epi sun ago. They will gather together, tus eclectus, the elect, autu, if you read autu, his elect, ekton tesaron anemon, from the four winds, ap akru geis, from the corner or point of the earth until the akru, word Acropolis, the high point of the city, akru urenu, from the point of the heaven. So, Andy, it kind of reminds me here, I think what you said was really good about these the beasts and the times. You're probably getting something kind of general here. Very, very similar, those of you who heard the Silva lecture, when he talked about being interpreting things in a general way and not being overly specific. And this could well be what's going on here. All right, 28. Apo de tes sukes, but from the fig, mathete, that second person plural, so-called aorist, imperative active from manthano, to learn. But from the fig, learn the parable. Now, let's open our eyes here. Note that that's not a present imperative. This is not something that is habitual, but it is worded with the aorist, which is normal for just a given instance that's right in front of you. This heightens the eschatological awareness here. In other words, what he's basically saying is, man, you can learn this anytime, or you could think he's saying that, but he's not saying that. He's saying, I want you to learn this now, and you're to understand this as something that is standing right in front of the very door. Learn the parable, the comparison. Hotan eide ha clados autes, when the branch, that's clados, when the branch already, or just now, its hapalos genetai produces, shows forth, becomes, when its branch, I should take out taste with clatus there, when its branch becomes hapalos, rather rare word in our literature, means tender, tender. When its branch, that is the branch of the tree, becomes hapalos, tender. Kai ekphe, now genetai, let me parse that. That's third singular, aorist subjunctive middle from ginomai. When it becomes tender, and kai ekphe. Now that's a third person singular so-called present subjunctive active. So let's put the little extra in there that we have to focus on the connection between the actor and the activity. Here's how I'll translate that. And so, when its branch becomes tender and begins to put forth. We'll take that as inceptive there. And begins to put forth ta phyla, the leaves. Interestingly enough, our word chlorophyll comes from that, that phyll part at the end. That's why it's P-H-Y. Put forth. Ginoskete, you know that engis ta theros estin, that near is the summer. Hutos, in this same way, thus, so. Kai humais, also you guys. Hotan idete, second plural aorist subjunctive active with hotan. When you see, whenever that is, when you see tauta genomena, these things happening. There's a supplementary participle again from ginomai. When you see these things happening, ginoskete, now you could take that as either indicative, you know, or as imperative, know that engis estin epithyrais, that near he is at the doors. Now, by the way, notice here what Jesus is saying. Don't overread the text here. He is saying that when you see the signs, you know he's here. He's at the door. I shouldn't say here. He's at the door. It's not saying that when you see the signs, then this is going to happen in your lifetime. It is saying when you see the signs, you know that he is standing sort of face to face right in front of you, and this is liable to, like the sword of Damocles, drop at any time. 30. Amen lego humin, truly I say to you, hoti ume par elthe, ume plus the aorist subjunctive, third singular aorist subjunctive active of erchemai. He genea haute, this generation shall surely not pass away. Ume plus the aorist subjunctive, emphatic denial. This generation shall surely not pass away. Mechris, kind of a fancy word for until. Mechris who? Until the time in which? Until when? Tauta panta genetai. That is third singular aorist subjunctive middle of ginomai. And this is in the future, so the subordinate clause mechris should have used on. Strictly speaking, should have used on, doesn't, but still properly he uses the subjunctive. Now, we've got an interesting problem here with tauta panta. Let me come back to it after I do 31. Ha uranos kai hege par eloisontai, the heaven and the earth shall pass away, de hoi logoi mu, but my words, ume par eloisontai, ume plus the future indicative, that's the alternative in this construction, future indicative can pinch hit for the aorist subjunctive, my word shall surely never pass away. Let me tell you something about the discourse of the narrative of Mark. Jesus in Mark is always absolutely reliable. Every time he says something, it comes true. He says that after he is raised, he will go to Galilee. We know the ending of that gospel is going to see him go to Galilee. And here we have another one of these kinds of predictions. Now, I think this helps us out in verse 30. Tauta panta. What are all these things? This is a good example, George and others in my hermeneutics class, of a problem of referent, not a problem of meaning. We know what tauta means, and we know what panta means. We may not be sure what they refer to. Are they referring to everything he's talked about, namely the signs and the coming, or are they referring to simply the signs, that all these signs will take place? Well, let's look at verse 32, the one they didn't want us to see. Peride tes hemeras ekaines, but concerning that day, e tes horas, and that hour, udais oiden. Oiden, remember from Gino, it's a sort of its own thing here, a fourth principal part. It's not really of Ginosko, but to know. No one knows. Ude hoi angeloi en ureno, ude ha huias, aime ha pater. Neither the angels in heaven, nor the Son, except or but the Father. The Father is the only one who knows, the Son does not know. Now, that raises interesting Christological issues. But I think one thing it surely does inform us of is that in all probability, given verse 32 and given verse 29 about the fig, the tree, and 28 and 29, and putting forth its branches and so on, I think we have to take tauta panta as all these things signs. In other words, our Lord is admitting that it is not within the purview of the Son to have the exact chronology of this in the divine intra-divinity economy. And I think then, to understand when this is going to take place exactly in verse 30 gives you a problem with the understanding of verse 32, assuming Jesus said all this stuff, of course, and we are. But the idea here is that this stands at the very door and it's liable to break in at any time. Now, I want to say one other thing. We're just slightly over time, but I'd like to say this while Andy's here. Andy, it struck me in going over this that the relationship between the prophecies of the end and our Lord's ministry is very congruent. The relationship is very much the same as the relationship of the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies to the first coming of our Lord. Now, that is to say that you get kind of lower key, lower level, surface preliminary fulfillments along righteousness and the root of Jesse and all that kind of stuff. We have Zerubbabel and all these people coming along. And then those are foretastes of the fullness which is to come. Well, you see, we have that, I think, that same kind of thing here. That's why I made reference before to verse 24 and the fulfillment of verse 24 in the crucifixion with the sun being darkened. Mm-hmm. All right? So that you have in the very ministry of our Lord, you indeed have these things all taking place, but not without remainder. Not so exhaustively that there's nothing else to do, but in a way that the promise is indeed fulfilled. So, for example, he says very clearly to Pontius Pilate, you wouldn't have any authority if it weren't given you from above. I can bring 12 legions of angels. Powers of the state are absolutely living on borrowed time, exactly as the Daniel passage talks about. All power, in other words, is given to him. Yet, it's not done, as I say, without remainder. And I think this is exactly why the signs of the end, whether they be wars and rumors of wars, whether they be people coming and saying, I am the Christ, or whatever, all of these were easily fulfilled right within the lifetime of, even Jesus, but I mean of the first apostles. And so there is always that even now, not yet character that we have. And I might say this is exactly why the Old Testament is always relevant for the church, because it provides a paradigm. The relationship between the church and her living for the second coming is very paradigmatically related in the Old Testament as far as the first coming is concerned. Okay? All right.
Generation is the problem. The question is that generation is
I should have talked about that. You can take it like a whole perverse